Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, here we are. It is 2020. And every year, you know, we have a theme for our year. And if you've been paying attention on social media over the last few days, or if you've been here in our services lately, you know that we are moving into our year of acceleration 2.0. Because last year was the year of acceleration. But here's the thing, I didn't feel like we were done accelerating yet. I feel like there was more things that God wanted to accelerate us into. So year 2020 is our year of acceleration 2.0, because this is our year of the upgrade. How many of you want to upgrade in 2020? Come on, you want to upgrade. Okay, fantastic. We got 53% of you want an upgrade. The other 47%, we're going to pray for you today before you leave. And so we're going to kick off this year. And we're going to kick off this year with a sermon series for the next 4 weeks entitled Upgrade. And we're going to be talking about how do we upgrade our lives. Because here's what happens so many times in today's time and in this age is that we upgrade our phones, we upgrade our TVs, we upgrade our cars, we upgrade our houses, we upgrade our laptops, but many times we neglect to upgrade our lives. So our phones get faster. Our TVs get clearer, our houses get bigger, but our lives don't get better. Everything around us improves, but nothing within us improves. And so this year is the year of upgrade. And you see, I believe that you came to church on the first Sunday of the year because you say, I want things to be different. I don't want things to stay the same. I want to go to the next level in my faith. I want to upgrade my mindset and my behaviors and my habits. I want to upgrade my relationship. I want to upgrade my commitment. I want to upgrade my character. I want to upgrade my integrity. I want to upgrade in my marriage. I want things to go to the next level. And so you showed up today because you don't want just things in your house to upgrade. You want to upgrade. You don't want just things to get better around you. You want things to get better within you. And that's why this year is our year of the upgrade acceleration 2.0. Let me tell you why this is important. Because the things that you change this year can transform your decade. The things that you change this year can transform your decade. Now watch what happens. Whenever your decade is transformed, it changes your whole life and your legacy. And your whole life and your whole legacy can change from small changes that you make in 2020. And you make things that seem to be so small and maybe so insignificant, but you're just going to change a few things in 2020, and those few things that you change actually transform you over the course of a decade, which sets you up to be a completely different person in your life. And therefore, your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids will live off of the changes that you made in 2020 that transformed a decade and ultimately transformed your life. That's why this year is important. That's why 2020 is so vital. It's not just about this year, it is about the rest of your life. And so as we go into the series, let me just give you the big thought, and I encourage you to write it down. I encourage you to take notes today. I'll be sharing some very practical things with you that I think are going to really help you be more productive in this year of upgrade. And so I want you to take notes today. If you there's pens in the seat back there in front of you, handed a welcome card. You got a notes section right there. Or maybe you want to take these notes in your phone. But we all know here at North Point Community Church that the better notes you take in church, the bigger your mansion is in heaven. So take really good notes today. Go ahead, upgrade your mansion, right? It's a year of upgrade that mansion by taking great notes today. Hey, let me give you this big thought for our series. The big thought is this: if I'm going to upgrade my life, then I must master what truly matters. If I'm going to upgrade my life, then I've got to master what truly matters. Let me just give you a quick definition for the word master. It means to become skilled or proficient in. To become skilled or proficient in, to become an expert, which means that there is a learning curve. Nobody is born mastering what matters. Nobody is born good at what matters. No, you have to learn how to master what matters, which means that you have to learn how to become skilled or proficient in these things to become an expert. That means there's a learning curve. Here's the other thing about master, another definition for the word master, and it is this: it is to conquer or overcome. To conquer, overcome, which means there's going to be a fight. It means there's going to be a battle. If you want to master what really matters, then you need to know you are signing up for a fight, because it is hard to master what really matters. If you're going to master what matters, you need to know that there is going to be battles. You are going to have to fight. You are going to have to overcome, and you are going to have to conquer in order to master what matters. So if we realize there is a learning curve and there is a fight, then we can see why people don't master what really matters. Because it's hard. It's difficult. It takes time. It takes persistence. It takes me failing and getting back up again. And if we are going to upgrade, this is what we need to realize. We need to realize we've got to master what matters. And if we're going to master what matters, it is going to demand a learning curve. That means I've got to learn something this year that I do not know right now. That means I've got to make sure that I am getting some inputs in my life that I don't currently have in my life. If you haven't read a book in the last 10 years, this is your year to read a book. If you haven't listened to a podcast in your entire life, this is a year to start listening to some podcasts. This is the year for you to get some different inputs in your mind so that you can learn something that you do not know. How many of you understand? If you keep living the life that you are currently living without any new inputs, then you are going to continue the life that you've always been living. It only changes when I get something new. I need some new information. And so many times, we really stop learning whenever we graduate the last school that we had. I mean, these statistics are staggering. Less than 25% of people ever read a book after they graduate their last day of school, whether that be high school or college. That's one out of every four people that read a book. That means three out of every four never ever read another book. So that means they are operating with what they've already operated on. And how many of you know, if it was working back there, our lives would be better today? Right? I mean, I got to get new information in, because I don't want to stay stuck where I am. I got to become a better husband. I got to become a better dad. I got to become a better leader. I got to become a better follower. I got to become a better Christian. I got to become better in every area. The only way I become better is whenever I realize there's something that I don't know and I've got to learn. That's how I master what matters. And when I realize every single day it's going to be a fight, every single day it's going to be a battle, I'm not just going to walk into being a master of what matters. No, I'm going to have to come equipped and war and fight for what really matters in my life. And so if we're going to master what really matters, if we are going to experience this upgrade in our lives, we have to say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to master what matters? How are we going to experience this upgrade? Let me just give you a little recipe that we're going to be talking about for these few weeks, and we're going to be talking about really for most of this year. And it is this is the recipe: eyes up, head up, hands up. Okay, say it with me. Say eyes up, head up, hands up. You see, my eyes up is all about my attention. It's all about my focus. It's all about what am I looking at. My head being up is all about my attitude. And then my hands up is all about my availability. Are my hands available to be used by God? And so if I can get my eyes on the right things, if I can get my attitude in the right place, and if I can tell God, God, use me however you want to use me, then I promise you in 2020, you will experience an upgrade like never before in your life. Yeah. Hebrews 12, verse 1, the scripture says, therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. How many of you picked up some weight in 2019? No, I don't mean pounds. I'm talking about you picked up the weight of negativity. You picked up the weight of anxiety. You picked up the weight of laziness and apathy. You picked up the weight of hopelessness, and you picked up that weight in 2019. Maybe you picked it up from one of your family members. Maybe you picked it up from somebody in your office, but you came into 2019 feeling pretty good, but somewhere along the course of 2019, you picked up a weight that you were not supposed to carry. So here it says, hey, if you want to experience the upgrade, if you want to experience what God has for you, you got to strip off those weights that are slowing you down. It says, and not only that, you got to get rid of the sin that so easily trips us up. You know, I believe it says the sin because it's a singular thing. This is my personal belief. I believe that most of us have one thing that like, you could say, like haunts us all of our life, right? Like you just can't break away from it. And it shows up in different seasons and it shows up in different forms. But whether that is anger, whether that is fear, whether that is greed, whether that is pride, it always keeps showing up. And it's like it shows up in every season in a little different form and a little different fashion, but the result is always the same. It keeps tripping us up. It showed up when we were 13. It showed up when we were 19. It showed up when we were 24. It's still showing up now that we're 58, and it keeps showing up, and we keep tripping over it. And so this is what the scripture says. If you want to run that race, you got to get rid of that weight that is weighing you down, and you got to get rid of that sin that keeps on tripping you up. Why? So you can run with endurance the race that God has marked out for you. Everybody say run. We understand run takes energy. When he says run with endurance, we understand endurance means there's time. So when I realize the race that God is calling me to is to run with endurance, I realize that this takes energy and this takes time. Wow, it sounds a whole lot like mastering what matters. It takes energy and it takes time. It takes energy and it takes time. I've got to learn something I didn't know. That takes me putting forth energy. And then I've got to overcome and battle and conquer, which means it's going to take time. And so mastering what matters looks a whole lot like running this race that God told me that he is marking out for me. Now look, it says, let us run with endurance this race that God has set before us. This is what you need to know. Your course for 2020 is already set. It's already marked out for you. It's like the Boston Marathon. I have never ran the Boston Marathon or any other marathon for that matter. I have never run the Boston Marathon, but how many understand in 2020, the Boston Marathon is going to be set. The race is going to be set. The question is am I going to run it? The answer is no. But here's what you need to know for your life. The course has already been set for your 2020. God has already marked it out for you. He has everything in place for you. The question today is, are you going to run the race? The question is, are you going to show up? The question is, will you put the energy and the time that you need to put in to run the race that he marked out for you to run? I'm running this course, but how do we do this? Man, I'm so glad the Bible gives us answers. How do I run this race that takes energy and time? How do I deal with this weight that I picked up in 2019 and this sin that keeps popping up at every season of my life trying to trip me up and take what God has for me? How do I deal with these things? Verse 2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We do this. We run this race. We master what matters by keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he is the champion who started this thing in me. He will be the champion who finishes this thing in me. I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes today about eyes up. Where is my attention? Eyes up, where is my attention? Father, I ask in these next few moments that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that we would leave encouraged today. Do what only you can do in Jesus' name. And everybody in the room said, amen. In athletics and in life, I've discovered that what you look at really matters. What you look at really matters. You know, having played quarterback and then having the opportunity to coach quarterbacks in my life, you know, a quarterback, what you look at really matters. I mean, when you take the snap from center, anytime you take the snap from center and you drop back to pass, if you have a quarterback that is only looking at those four big dudes who are trying to come and kill him, if that's all he is looking at, he's not going to be very good at his job, because his job is not to pay attention to the four guys who are trying to come, knock his head off, and end his life. That's not what he's supposed to be looking at. He's supposed to be looking beyond them. And so if you get a quarterback who's looking at the wrong thing, they're not going to be very good. And some of you think would say, well, the quarterback's supposed to look at the receivers. No, I'm not supposed to be looking at my receivers, because if I'm looking at my receivers, I know where my receivers are going to be. I don't know where the defense is supposed to be. So I'm not supposed to be looking at my guys. I'm supposed to be looking at their guys. I've got to make sure that I'm looking at the right thing if I am going to be successful. Whenever I played basketball, my basketball coach taught me, whenever you're playing defense, you don't look at the person's eyes. You don't look at their head. You don't look at the ball. You look at their belly button. And here's the reason why. Because in basketball, they can give you a ball fake. And if they ball fake, oh, you know, you can jump out there and they can go around you. Or they can give you a head fake. Boom, they give you a head fake. You jump up. And you're playing their game, but you look at their belly button, because they can't give you a belly button fake. I mean, they are where they are. Their belly button cannot go anywhere. So when you're playing defense, you just look at their belly button, because their belly button goes wherever they go. Where you look matters. For every golfer in the room, you know where you look matters. You're up on the tee box, and you're looking right down the fairway, but then right before you hit the ball, you look at the big lake over there on the left. You think, oh, I don't want to hit it in that lake. Where is that ball going? In the lake. That's right. Because what we look at matters. You see, what we experience and the results of what we experience in life and on the field or on the court, they come so many times from what we are focused on. So here is the crucial question. The crucial question is this: where is my attention? Where is my attention? And this is why this is an important question. Because whatever has your attention has you. I want you to think about that for a moment. Whatever has your attention has you. That's why you have to ask yourself, where is my attention? Because whatever has your attention has you. Why? Because we are people who follow our focus. Whatever we are focused on is what we follow. We seek whatever we see. And so wherever my attention is and my focus is and what I see, that is always the direction that my life is going to be moving. And so it should be no surprise to us today that the enemy is always fighting for our focus. It should be no surprise to us that the enemy is always fighting for our focus. What is the enemy attempting to do? The enemy is always attempting to get our attention off of God's truth and onto his lies. It's always what he is trying to move your focus off of what God said is true about himself and what God has said is true about you. He's trying to get your attention and your focus off the truth that God has spoken, and he's trying to shift your attention and your focus onto the lies that he is telling you about God, what he is telling you about your past, what he is telling you about your present, or what he is telling you about your future. He's always trying to shift your attention. And when he shifts your attention, then guess what? Then he starts playing on your fear. He starts playing on your greed. He starts playing on your entitlement. He starts playing on your selfishness or your shame. And then he begins to play on those things. But how does it happen? Because he shifts our focus. I was listening to an audio book this week, and they were talking about Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali is one of, arguably one of the greatest fighters of all time, arguably the greatest boxer of all time. And whenever they were talking about Muhammad Ali, they said, Muhammad Ali did everything wrong. And as a boxer, and I don't box, I've never boxed before in my life, but they said, as a boxer, Muhammad Ali did everything wrong. And they started talking about what he did wrong. They said, he always left his jaw exposed. Every boxer is supposed to fight with their hands up in front of their face, but not Muhammad Ali. He fought with his jaw exposed. Every boxer is supposed to, when the opposition punches, you're supposed to slide to the left or slide to the right, but not Muhammad Ali. Said he backed up. And everybody said, there's no way this guy can be successful. Backing up to a punch, they said, like, that's trying to run away from a freight train. You step off the tracks of the freight train. You don't back up when a freight train's coming. They said, there's no way Muhammad Ali is going to be successful. They said whenever Muhammad Ali started throwing his punches, they said he punched like an amateur, not like a professional. But this is what they said about Muhammad Ali. They said that he did something that nobody had ever done before. That is that he studied his opponents. It wasn't about the skill set. It was about his opponent. He studied his opponents. He said that he would do things. He would talk to people who used to be close to the guy he was about to box. He wanted to know about his marriage, wanted to know about his kids, wanted to know about what did he eat for breakfast. He wanted to know where did he go in the afternoon, what did he do for fun, how did he relax, what was he focused on, what did he talk about, what irritated him. He said he would get all of this information, and then Muhammad Ali would lay in bed at night, and this is what he was always thinking about. How does my opponent think? Because if I can figure out how he thinks, I can beat him every time. Oh, wow. He said Muhammad Ali won fights he should have never won on pure talent and skill, but he won all of those fights because he was better right here. And I thought, wow, isn't that so much like our enemy? Yeah. Yeah. Our enemy is just wondering, how do you think? He's just watching you. He's watching what makes you angry, watching what makes you fearful, watching what you get stressed out about, watching all these things. And then he realizes the argument that he's going to bring to you. But as I started thinking about, wow, that's just like the enemy, then I started thinking, well, wow, that should be just like us. Right. I mean, the Bible says that you don't have to be unaware of Satan's schemes. Right. You can study your enemy. You can look back through the Word of God and you can learn all about everything you need to know about the enemy, because this is what you will discover in your life. As with past history, the enemy just has patterns. Right. He has ways of fighting. Right. He has ways of attacking. He has ways of doing things. And so for us, all you really need to do, you just got to go back to the very beginning and see the very first pattern that the enemy shows up with in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, God's created Adam and Eve. There they are in the garden. Everything is beautiful. It's all wonderful. It's all going so well. And then the serpent comes in, and the serpent starts talking to Eve and says, excuse me, Eve. Did God really say that you couldn't eat from any tree in this garden? Starts working in her mind, right? She's like, well, that's not what God said. God said we could have the fruit from any of the tree except that tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the devil's, I wonder why he doesn't want you to eat off of that tree. Oh, you know why he doesn't want you to eat off that tree? He doesn't want you to eat off that tree because you're going to become like God. He says, no. He said that we're going to die. And the servant says, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. God knows if you eat off that tree, you're going to become like God. And you're going to know good and evil. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that Eve was convinced. Everybody say convinced. She was convinced. She looked at the tree. And the tree was beautiful, and the fruit looked to be good food. And the Bible says she took the fruit off of that tree, and she ate that fruit, and she gave it to Adam. And we say, how did that happen? How did she take the fruit? How did she take the bait? The enemy was successful in diverting Eve's attention. And as soon as he diverted her attention, he had her. See, the devil, listen to this, because this is sometimes what we think about when we think about attention, and then we start thinking about distraction, and we start thinking about getting busy. But watch this. The devil didn't just get Eve busy in the garden. He got her to believe something wrong about God and herself. The enemy wasn't just trying to get her busy. Oh, you got to run over here, take care of this plant. Oh, you got to run over here, make sure these are growing right. Oh, Eve, you got to make sure you plant this seed over here. Oh, Eve, you got to make sure these animals are okay. Oh, Eve, no, that's not what the devil did. The devil didn't come and make her busy. The enemy came to get her to believe something that was wrong about God and about herself. And when the enemy gets you to believe something wrong about God or yourself, then the next thing is always guaranteed to follow. After you have a wrong belief, you will make a wrong decision. So the distraction is not in being busy. The distraction is in the belief. You start believing something about God and yourself. And then the next thing you know, you are taking fruit off a tree that you should have never touched. And you say, how did I get here? And it was because your attention got diverted. You know, the devil's trick is always to distract you. Like a great musician, magician, right? A magician. You ever been to a magic show or seen a magic trick, right? I mean, okay, fantastic. We got three people that have been to a magic show. Okay. What is the trick? The trick is that you're never looking in the right spot, right? That you don't see. The greatness of the magician is in the diversion. The magician gets you looking over here, and then boom, something happens over there, and you're like, oh my God, how did that happen? It's funny, though, that people say the same thing in a magic show that they say about life. How did that happen? How did I get to this place? It's because you weren't looking at what you needed to be looking at. The enemy got your eyes off of the truth about God and about yourself and about your future, and he was able to divert your attention and put it on a lie. And whenever he put your attention on that lie, then you found yourself making decisions in accordance to what you believed. And whenever you started making those decisions, you got something out of that that was not what God intended. And you say, how did this happen? It happened this way because I lost focus. My attention got on the wrong thing. But you see, you're here this morning, and you're here this morning to upgrade. You're here this morning because you want to go to the next level. And so we already said, how do we do this? We do this. It's right there in the scripture. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We do this by keeping our eyes up. But can we just be honest for a moment before we close this service and say this? I mean, that reads really well. It preaches really well. You can get people to say amen to it, but can we just be honest for a second and say that there are so many opportunities in the course of a day to get distracted and discouraged, and we're talking about a day. There's even more in a week. There's even more in a month, and there's so many in a year. So when you tell me the answer is me keeping my eyes on Jesus, yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. I knew that before I came in, but I haven't been able to do that in 2019, 2018, 2017. I know what I need to do, but I just don't know how to do it. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus, but I get so distracted by all of the other things, and then things start happening in my life, and I start believing things that I shouldn't believe. I start becoming somebody that I don't want to be. I start doing things that I don't want to do, and it all happened because my eyes and my focus got diverted. So how do I do this? This is what I would tell you this morning. I think it's going to help you out, and I want you to write this down. The trick to keeping your eyes on Jesus is learning how to get your eyes back on Jesus. The key to keeping your eyes on Jesus is learning how to get your eyes back on Jesus. See, I wish that this was a one-time decision. I wish that I could just decide, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, and from now until all eternity, my eyes are on Jesus, but it doesn't happen that way. I wish that this was just based on my desire. God, I have a desire to live every day with my focus on you. However, it does not work this way. You see, my eyes staying on Jesus is dependent upon me constantly resetting my focus back to Jesus. Because there's so many things that happen every day. There's so many things that happen every week. There's so many things that are going to happen in 2020 in all of our lives. There are so many things that are attempting to steal our attention and to take our focus. So if I say, God, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, what that really means is, God, I'm going to keep putting my eyes back on Jesus. Every time I take my eyes off, I'm going to put my eyes back on. Every time I get distracted, I'm going to come back and put my eyes on. Every time I forget, I'm going to put my eyes back on Jesus. If I'm going to be great at keeping my eyes on Jesus in 2020, that means I'm going to be great at resetting my focus all throughout the day on Jesus. Yes. See, this is where people start feeling bad. People start feeling bad about their attention drifting, right? This is in my conversation with people. People start feeling so bad. They start feeling so guilty about their attention shifting off of Jesus. But Philip, I said on Sunday that I want my eyes to be on Jesus, and I said I was going to come to prayer, and I never showed up. I said I was going to start my Bible reading plan, and I hadn't even started yet, and it's January 15th, and I said I was going to do all of these things, and I haven't done it all. And this is where people get disappointed, and then this is where people get discouraged. But listen, that's not the distraction. This is where the distraction happens. The distraction happens when the serpent slithers up to you and says, yeah, you're right. If you really loved God, you're right. If you really love God, you're right. They had 21 days of prayer and you never showed up. Yeah, if you really loved God, you'd have gone at least one night. You saw that Instagram post and you kept scrolling. Pastor Philip, he wrote the prayer out for you. If you really love God, you'd have prayed that prayer. It'd have taken you 25 seconds. You can't give 25 seconds to God. If you would have really loved God, you'd have given God 25 seconds. See, the distraction is not in you being busy. The distraction is even not in you forgetting for a moment. The distraction is when you start believing the wrong things about God and about yourself. Right. The servant starts whispering things like this. You're never going to get this right. New year, same you. You couldn't get this right in 19. You couldn't get this right in 18. You couldn't get this right in 17. You've never been able to get it right. And your mom's been going to church her whole life, and she's never been able to get it right. And your friends couldn't get it right. And you know what? You're not going to get this right either. You see, the distraction is not in being busy and forgetting. The distraction is when you start believing the wrong thing. The enemy comes and he says, I tried to tell you this wasn't right for you in the first place. This wasn't right for you. I mean, what did you really think? Look around you right now. Look at all these people. This is not, you don't fit here. You don't belong here. You cannot do what they are asking you to do. You do not belong. I told you this was not right, and this will never be right for you. And the enemy is tempting to distract you by getting you to believe something wrong about God and about yourself. See, we think the distraction is in the busy. No. The distraction is not in the busy. The distraction is in the belief. The distraction is not in the busy. The distraction is in the belief. When I start believing the wrong thing, that's what happened to Eve. It wasn't that Eve was so busy in the garden that she forgot about God. It was that she started believing the wrong thing about God. And what she started focusing on is the one tree that God said she couldn't have, and she couldn't even see the whole garden that God did give her. She started focusing on the wrong thing. And when she started focusing on the wrong thing, she started following the wrong thing. And the next thing she knew, she was taking something off of the wrong tree. And she was making the wrong decisions, and it happened because she had the wrong belief. And so the temptation for us, it's not just in being busy, it's in having the wrong beliefs about God, about yourself, about your past, and about your future. And that's what the enemy is really going for. It's really going for getting you distracted by believing the wrong thing. He can take your life off track. You see, this is what I've learned about keeping our eyes on Jesus, that it has just as much to do with practice as it does passion. I want you to hear this. You need to write this down. I'm telling you, this is the one thing that will change your 2020 right here. Listen to me. I've learned that keeping your eyes on Jesus has just as much to do with practice as it does passion. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus every day, every year, every decade. I'm going to keep, that's great, that's great, that's great. But if you don't practice, that passion is going to wane. You got to practice, because you know what you're going to do? Come January 7th, you're going to trip and you're going to fall. You know what's going to happen Thursday morning? You're going to make a fool of yourself. You know what's going to happen Saturday afternoon? You're going to say something to your spouse that you know you shouldn't have said. It's going to happen, because we are sinful creatures and we are prone to be selfish and we are prone to put our foot in our mouth and we are prone to do things that we said we were never going to do again. It is going to happen, but here is the key. If you want to keep your eyes on Jesus, you have to practice getting up off of the ground and putting your eyes back on him and realizing that passion didn't do it for me, but practice will. Keeping your eyes on Jesus is just as much about habit as it is hype. You come here Sunday, you can get hyped, you can get fired up, new year, new me, 2020, my decade, what in my life. You can do whatever you want to do when it comes to hype, but if you don't get the right habits, it's not going to matter. You got to get the right habits in your life. I'm getting a habit of putting my eyes on Jesus. What do we tell children when it comes to attention? We say, hey, kids, pay attention. Yeah, come on. Think about that for a moment. Pay attention. Why? Because attention has a price tag. Right. You got to pay attention. And if you're going to put your attention on God, there's a price tag. You're going to have to pay a price to keep getting up and putting your attention on God every day. You're going to have to pay the price every time you do what you said you wouldn't do. Get back up, put your attention back on God. You're going to have to pay the price for your attention. It takes work, so don't expect it to be natural or easy. Let me just give you a few things, a few keys today to keeping your eyes up, a few keys to keeping your eyes up. These are very practical. I'm going to go through these very, very quickly. Keys to keeping your eyes up in 2020. Number one is this: take the moments you have. Take the moments you have. All right, listen, I've told you the real distraction isn't being busy, it's believing. It's believing the wrong thing. And here's what it starts from. It's believing things like, I don't have time. Yes, you do have time. Yes. Believing the wrong things. God doesn't want my 30-second prayer. Why do you believe that? Come on, Coach. Talk about it. Why do you believe that God doesn't want your 3 seconds? Come on. Who told you that God didn't want your 3 seconds? Right. Who told you that? Do you think it was God that said, I don't want your 3 seconds? No. No, but why did we start believing? But some of us, we believe that. Right. If I can't pray for 30 minutes, I can't pray. If I can't read 7 chapters of the Bible, I don't need to read a verse. Who told you that? Right. Where did this come from? No, you do have time, and God will take the time that you have. So take the moment you have. Take the moment you have. See, it's the diversion. The enemy gets you believing the wrong thing, and then guess what? He calls you to miss the moment you do have. Because we all have time. We all have moments. But he convinces you that that moment's not good enough for God. Yeah, that there's so much chaos right now in your home. Really, you're just going to take a moment and bring all the kids together with all the chaos and all the crazy, and the living room is all dirty. You're just going to bring the kids all together, and you're just going to say a 30-second prayer, and you really think that's going to really make a difference and do something great? Is that really it? No, and so know what? So you're like, forget about it. No, you got to take the moment you do have. You do have 30 seconds. You got to take the moment you do have. Take the moments you do have when you're in the car. Most people in this room are going to drive somewhere this week. Right. Take the moments you have. As you are driving to work, take the moments you have. As you are driving your kids to school, take the moments you have. Yes. We live right here in Green Acres Place. I come and drop my kids off here at the bus so they go to Evangel. This is like a 2.5-3 minute window. Do you know what we do every single morning? I do every single morning with our girls. As we are coming to church, our girls say their declaration. Every single morning. Why? Because you got to take the moments that you have. And I could say, oh, this is just 3 minutes, and oh, we're just a moment of peace and quiet after I've been giving them their breakfast and doing all the things and getting their uniforms on and getting them out the door and all that. No, no, no. I'm going to take the moments I have because I got 3 minutes in the car with my kids, and so I'm going to have Juju, and I'm going to have Carolina, and they're going to say their declaration, God, this is your day. I'm your girl. Let's go for it. I'm brave. I'm beautiful. I'm blessed. I'm strong. I'm fast. I'm built to last. I listen well. I work hard. I never give up. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mind to understand, my heart to receive everything that you have for me today in Jesus' name. We say that every single morning. Why? Because I take the moments I have. I don't have time for a 30-minute Bible study and anoint all my kids with oil and pray over all that. No, but I got 3 minutes. I'm going to take the moments I have. Listen, before bed, take the moment you have. My staff's getting nervous right now. They're like, it's 10:42. We were supposed to take communion. We got all kinds of things going. We're not taking communion. Okay, yeah, okay, relax. Okay. Take the moment you have before bed. Listen, your children have to go to sleep. You got to go to sleep. So build in something in those moments. Every single night, I pray with my girls. And you know what? Whenever I pray, I'm not expecting angels to come down and the supernatural to show up and just to have this amazing prayer time where we're both just crying, oh, I love you, good night, go to sleep. No, but here's what I've discovered. The last thing that they hear before they go to sleep is they are going to hear themselves pray and they're going to hear me pray. Why? Because we are connecting to a God who can change everything. And I just want them at the end of the day to put their attention and their focus back on him so they can sleep all night long knowing that there's a God in heaven who created them and loves them. Just take the moment you have. Take the moment you have while you wait for coffee. Take the moment you have while you go to the bathroom. Take the moment you have while you have your family around the table for dinner. Just take the moment you have. Take the moment you have with your spouse right before you leave out the house. Just take the moment that you have. Just take the moments that you have. Take the moment you have. Second, prioritize Sunday morning. Nothing more important is happening on Sunday morning than what's happening in this place. Nothing. Nothing. You can make biscuits and gravy on Saturday morning next week. Prioritize Sunday morning. Why? Because it's going to help you get your eyes up. You know whenever you come, every time you leave North Point, you know you leave like, ah, I feel so good about the week. Yeah. So do you know the one place the enemy doesn't want you on Sunday mornings? Right here. Right. So prioritize Sunday morning to help keep your eyes up. Set reminders on your phone. Put reminders on your phone. It's gonna ding you at 9 a.m. Moment of gratitude. Boom. Eyes up. God, I thank you for this day. Take those 5-10 seconds. Boom. Reminder at 12 o'clock. You're going to pray for these three people. God, I pray for my mom. God, I pray for my aunt. God, I pray for my friend. Reminder at 5 o'clock. Boom. It dings again. And you begin to pray for God, I pray for myself. I pray for health. I pray for strength. I pray for myself. Set reminders on your phone that will just get your eyes up. Use technology. Not just to discourage you, but to encourage you. Use technology for God. Establish a morning and a nighttime routine. Just set a routine for yourself. Practice it. Know you're not going to be good at it. Know you're not going to do it right. I'm going to do this every morning. Just try to do it like 2 out of the next 7 days. Like, that's a win. That's not a loss. That's a win. I'm telling you right now, this will change your life. Because you get discouraged because you said you were going to do it every day and you only do it 2 days. And the enemy put your attention on what? The 5 days you missed instead of the 2 days that you did it. And if in January I do 2 days, in February I can make it 3 days, and in March I can make it 4 days, and in April I can make it 5 days. By halfway through the year, I'll be doing every day. It took me a long time to get there. But I got there. Look, sign up for a verse of the day. Practical thing. Sign up for a verse of the day. Something's going to email you every day with the verse. Sign up for a Bible reading plan. Reminders. Have a daily declaration. Write yourself a daily declaration. where you can begin to declare what you want to declare over your life? Yeah, you can say our declaration that we say here every Sunday. Sure, you can write your own declaration. Follow us on social media. Follow us. Pray these 21 days. It's going to take you less than 60 seconds. Pray the prayer. Join with us. Little things that you can do. There's some people you need to stop following on social media because they create anxiety for you. Stop following on social media because it's all about comparison. So you just need to stop following. Stop following on them. Why? Because they're getting your eyes off of what really matters and they're putting your attention on what doesn't matter. Start following people on social media who inspire you, fill you with faith. Have a friend to text you every day. Get a little, this is called peer pressure. If you're depending on me to send you a text, and I'm depending on you to send me a text, and we've partnered in this, it's called peer pressure, because on the day I don't want to do it, you're going to do it for me. On the day you don't want to do it, I'm going to do it for you, and we're going to text one another, praying for you, an encouraging scripture, something that we read, something positive. Have somebody that you text. You want to upgrade your 2020? You want to keep your eyes on Jesus? Sign up to serve on one of our teams. You know one of the great reasons of signing up to serve? That's called group peer pressure. Because when you signed up to serve, you can't just go, oh, well, I'm tired this morning. No, that group peer pressure is going to make you come to church. Are you going to come to church and you're going to leave going, I'm so glad I went to church today. But the only reason you came to church is because you had to serve. You didn't come because you were holy. You came because you had to. Join an NCC group. Set a time to evaluate your week every week. Man, last year I told my family we're going to reinstitute something that me and Destiny did for years, and we're going to have a family meeting on Saturday night. And I told them last year, that was our 2019 is what we're going to do. We did like four of them. There were 52 Sundays last year. We did four, but you know what? It's important to me. So when I got my family together, I said, hey, you know what? We stunk at this last year. But we're going to get better in 2020. We're going to get our family together, and we're going to talk about the week. We're going to have some discussions. We're going to spend this time together every single week. We're going to do that on Sunday nights. We're going to do that. See, now I'm telling you, it's group peer pressure. So now I have to do it. All right? See, these are practical things you can do. How many know that there is spiritual in the practical? There is spiritual in the practical. When you start putting these practical things to play in your life, what you discover is that your attention stays in the right place more frequently than it did in the past. And the more my attention stays on Jesus, the more I can keep running the race that He created me to run. Come on, stand with me this morning. Come on, bow your heads. We're going to close it out quick today. Here's what I believe. Bow your heads just for a moment. I believe that some of you in this place said, Philip, I need a new beginning starting in 2020. I need a new beginning for my life. I need a new beginning for my faith. Some of you this morning, you might be in this place and you've never made a decision to give your life to God. And you say, man, today I want to surrender my life to God. I don't want to live life my way anymore. I want to live life God's way. Some of you in this place, you've had the right desire for a long time, but you just picked up some habits, some weight, the sin tripping you up from 2019. You say, Philip, I just need a fresh start right now. I just need a new beginning in my life today. And my new beginning starts with me putting my eyes on Jesus today. If that's you, whether you are putting your eyes on Jesus for the first time or if you're just saying, Philip, I just got to get my attention and my focus back on Him. I just need a new beginning. Come on, right there where you are today. I just want you to slip your hand up in the air and say, Philip, that's me today. That's me. I just got to get my eyes on Jesus today. I got to get my focus off of all the distractions and all of the lies and all of the fears. I got to put my attention back on Jesus, on His truth, on the plans and the purposes that He has for my life. Come on, everybody in the room, will you pray this prayer right after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need You. Thank You for Your goodness and grace. I am ready to upgrade my life in 2020. And it starts with putting my eyes up on You. In Jesus' name, Come on, put a big amen on it.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.